A few weeks ago was the final episode of the series Game of Thrones. I don't know if we have any Game of Thrones fans here. In our church tonight, it's been a small percentage this weekend. I'm seeing nothing. Okay. They say it was maybe one of the most watched television episodes ever around the entire world. And I'm sure for many people this weekend, they're wondering, oh, it's Sunday night, what am I going to do? Because it has ended after many seasons, after many shows. And sometimes when you are attached to a show like that, you wish the story would continue. Like, I wish they'd make another season of this to watch. Now, I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, but I'm in the middle of The West Wing. It's going way back to the 90s, I think. And I just know that when I get to the last episode, I just know I'm going to be so attached to these characters and the plot lines and the narrative, I'm going to be like, oh, I wish there was more to the story. There's more to this plot. You kind of enjoy being in the midst of this drama with the people. But Hollywood makes no promises. If this thing's making a lot of money, maybe they'll give you more. Maybe they won't. Can't count on it. But sometimes you want more. You desire more of the story. Well, stay with me and let's take that one step deeper. I want to tell you another story. Father Richard Veras taught Catholic school for many years. I think he still does. And he's taught a lot of high schoolers, especially a lot of skeptical high schoolers. And he's tried to find a way to kind of make a bridge about things of God. So he came up with this thing called the preference test. Preference test. 7 questions. Multiple choice A or B. Which one do you prefer? A or B? And it's about your preference. So it's like an instinctual reaction. It's not, what do I think is the case? It's not, I think this is true. But it's, what would you prefer if you could make either one of these things happen? So some of the questions were like, which do you prefer? A, you are loved. B, you are not loved. Another question. Which would you prefer? A, there is a God who created you and loves you like a father and wants you to exist. Or B, you are the result of random chance occurrences and nothing outside of your immediate circle of influence cares that you exist. Again, which do you prefer? And the first question went like this. Pick A or B. Which do you prefer? A, when someone you love dies, they're dead and that's it. You never see them again. Or B, when someone you love dies, they somehow live on. And you hope that you will see them again because someday you too, even though you die, will live on. Which do you prefer? So students all do this test and he then talks about how they responded. And one of the students during one of the years, the first question said, I answered A, meaning when someone dies, I would prefer that they're dead, I'll never see them again. And Father Veras gets into this interchange with the student. Like, can you say more about that? Because remember, it's what you prefer, not what you think happens. He's like, yeah, that's what I'm sticking with. Okay, and he keeps on questioning him, and as they go back and forth, the class is very amused as he clings to his answer. And finally, after some more prodding, the student says very forcefully, he says, Father, I don't want to want something that's not going to happen. Interesting. I don't want to want something that will not happen. And the class kind of all sat back because they realized that this argument was over because this student was admitting he does want to see his loved one through death. He does want there to be more to the story, even though we can't figure out how or why. He was so scared of that reality of wanting it, but how is it going to happen that he kind of contradicted himself? Father Veras knew he could trust the promise of more that God has put into our hearts. The promise of more. Something about how we're made in the image and likeness of God wants there to be more, wants there to be no end to the story. And today, as we celebrate the ascension of Christ into heaven, this is God's promise to us that there is, in fact, more. The ascension proves to us that with God, there is no end to the beautiful story and drama of our lives, both in eternity and yet beginning right now. God promises this. Did you hear how often promise came up in the readings today? In Luke, we heard Jesus tell the apostles, "You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. You'll be clothed with power from on high." Acts of the Apostles, Jesus says, "Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then even in the letter to the Hebrews, "Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope. For he who made the promise is trustworthy." The promise. The Holy Spirit that rushes upon the church and upon us at Pentecost is this promise. It is the Lord and giver of life within us that's always whispering to us deep within, "God is more for you. There is more for you, both in the next life and here." Because you know what? So often, even though we desire there to be more in our lives, more beauty, more goodness, more romance, more adventure, we often doubt that's the case. "I'm kind of stuck here. I guess this is all there is. Maybe there is no more good things from God for me." And because we are scared sometimes of the promise of there being a whole new living way for us in Jesus Christ, living with him, sometimes, like that young man in class, we can medicate that yearning. "I don't want to want something that I don't think is going to happen." But the Spirit is constantly trying to melt away that iceberg, warm us up. Where in our hearts do we have doubt that God does promise us more in this life? Where do we settle for less? I just believe that things are the way they are and they can't be changed. God can't do anything more in my life. I'm stuck here. Where do we doubt that? That's why we implore the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost, that we may really believe that when Christ ascended to the Father's right hand, he didn't go into some faraway galaxy. What happened was our mortality entered into immortality. Our humanity entered into divinity. Our limitedness as humans entered into God's realm of being unlimited. That's why heaven's never boring. Heaven is the greatest unending love story there ever is. It's hard for us to imagine living a drama, a narrative that isn't driven by tragedy and darkness and evil, because that's how almost every story in this life has to be carried through, by some kind of tragedy. We can't even imagine adventure, romance, growth, glory in a place in where there is no evil. But that will be the unending joy of living together in heaven. That's the promise God wants to give each of us now, to begin to live there already. Do you want that? Is it a little scary to want that sometimes? The beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit, when we let him into our lives, is that we do not just watch the story unfold, we become the story. We become the protagonists. We become the actors. We become the influencers in bringing about God's kingdom because you have witnessed these things. And now we take that good news into the world to tell everyone else, there's more to your story. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, wherever you feel stuck, that promise within you that says, I want there to be more. The good news is it's true. And the Holy Spirit can change everything in your life in a moment, in a flash. Every Mass, before we say the great Amen, the body and blood of Christ are lifted up before the people in a kind of way, kind of ascended before the people. And we cry out all honor and glory to God forever and ever. Our story, our love, our joy, forever and ever. May this Eucharist give us strength and hope to believe this is true and to allow God to give us the promise of more now and forever.